To welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift will be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our special music this morning is God Will Take Care of You by our chancel choir. Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 12. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and the women who gave me. They were yours in the first place, then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. They know how. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them. And they look to it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those who gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours is mine, and my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They continue in the world, while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue their this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart and mind, as we are one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them to pursuit of the life you gave through me. I even posted a outlook, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction, the exception that proved ruled the scripture. Now I am returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing, so my people can experience my joy and complete in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated, and the truth. Your word is consecrated to concentrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I gave them a mission in the world. I am concentrating myself for their sakes, so there'll be truth consecrated in this mission.
Amen.
Our sermon this morning is Trust by Pastor Angel Abishar.
Isn't it amazing to know that Jesus has prayed for all of us? Because when it is talking about the disciples of that day, that also means by the reading of the word, by our faith, belief, and trust in him, that we are the disciples of today. And I don't know about you, but it gives me confidence. It helps me to have more trust in him, in God the Father, in what is happening in the world, to know that Jesus himself, in several different places in the Gospels, has prayed for us. Now, he didn't pray that we'd be picked up and taken out of the world and removed from all this trouble. No, he prayed that we would be protected from evil, that we remain in this world and be his messengers. Today is Ascension Day, where we celebrate and remember the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before he ascended, he prepared his disciples. He prayed for them. He told them as much as their ears were capable of listening what was going to happen. And he ate and drank with them before he died what we know as the Lord's Supper. And he knew that that would be celebrated among us for years yet to come. We often, when there is major trouble in our lives, begin wishing that the world was different, or I don't know about you, but I've even had a thought or two. Just call me home, will you? I can't do this anymore. Just call me home. Jesus doesn't step in and bring us home prematurely. Instead, what he does for us is surrounds us with his love and his power. How many of you have gone through major life challenges and in the midst of terrible pain have felt a peace that no one can explain to you? That is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was an old movie. I was watching old movies the other day, and this one was it was directed by and starred Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty was a quarterback for the LA Rams. The movie is titled Heaven can wait. Warren Beatty, as quarterback, is supposed to take the Rams to the Super Bowl. This is what everybody is counting on, is that he will take the Rams to the Super Bowl. He's taken out of his body by an over-anxious angel. Those rookie angels. Anyway, in Hollywood's fashion, they decided that he was not supposed to have died. He was supposed to take the Rams on to the Super Bowl. So Hollywood did what it's best at. It makes things up. Next thing we know, he has been brought back to life, reincarnated in the body of a millionaire who happens to own the Rams. And he does indeed take the Rams on to the Super Bowl. I don't believe in reincarnation. If our good and mighty God can speak this earth into existence, if he can separate the waters and the earth with a word, if he can create a work of art so intricate as the human body and know every hair on our head and know our name while we're still being formed in the womb, why would he have to recycle souls and put them in another body? I do believe in resurrection and resurrection power. Romans 8:11 tells me, and I believe it with every part of my being, I have come to trust and rely upon it. It tells me that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is alive and well in me and in you. And that I trust. Jesus prayed for us not to be taken out of the world, but rather that we, through the study of the Word, this is like my second Bible. If you go into my office, you'll see a ton of Bibles and a ton more at home. But I think that you can tell that it's been well studied. I can remember my daughter as a teenager in a camp in Bedford. I just realized that not long ago. That's where she went every summer, to that leadership camp. She had a duct tape Bible. Before those were popular, she duct taped her Bible because it was so well worn. Jesus calls us to stand in the middle of whatever is happening in the world and to direct others to God the Father. To direct them through our living example to the Word. I've heard it preached. Preach, and when necessary, use words. We might be the only example that someone else sees of Jesus Christ. Our love, our tolerance, our faith, and our trust in Him may be the only example that anyone else sees. And I'm preaching this really hard right now because our world is so divided. And in 2022, we will go to General Conference and there will be a decision made. It looks as if people are starting to look at different directions. There might still be a possibility of not being splintered all over, but that remains to be seen in conversations for later. What I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that our church, Trinity United Methodist, and the denomination United Methodist Global are God's. And we will continue to be used by God. We will continue to worship Him and trust in Him. For He does, as our choir sang, take good care of us. We don't yet reincarnation or a giant do-over, but we can trust upon His word, His promises, His love, and His power to carry us through anything that is happening. And I have seen such great examples of that in this church. That is going to bear witness to others watching us. If we begin quibbling about silly little things, I've not heard it here, but there are churches that get divided by what type of music is played. I know a church that literally split in half because of the way that the new ladies' bathroom was decorated. Folks, that's unexcusable, unacceptable. If we claim to be His body, then we hold to His body. And even when we have major differences, like what's coming up with General Conference, even then, we still show love and respect to one another, for that is what Christ Jesus has called us to do. Out of the mouths of babes, you never know what's going to happen in a children's message. That doesn't stop you or excuse you for not signing up to do one, because you should. I remember once hearing about this bright-eyed, three-year-old girl just anxious to listen to her pastor, and she's listening to him, and she's tracking with him really well as he's telling them that we should all love one another and that we should all be one. Well, that's when she stood up and started protesting loudly. I don't want to be one. I want to be four. Sadly, I think that her misunderstanding and her outburst might be something that we all experience. The Word tells us that when we walk with Jesus, when we follow Him, when we live out the holy Word of God, we should expect people to oppose us. If we are doing what we should do, we will have trouble in this world. And that is why He prayed for us. We can't know what is going to happen in the days and months to come. But human beings tend to be a little short-sighted sometimes. We would rather split into four groups, 40 groups or 400 groups, than to talk through things and work things out. Beloved, that's what it takes for unity and harmony, is to do that hard work of talking things out when you would so much rather stick your head in the sand or run on by or answer one or two words rather than really working things out or accepting that someone has a difference of opinion and loving them anyway for who they are. My brother Gary Dyer preaches and prays constantly that there is a commanded blessing in unity. There is a commanded blessing in harmony. And I believe that to be wholly true. When any body of Christ comes together on one accord, our good and gracious God blesses that. When we learn to live with those who are different from us and still love them, our good and gracious God blesses that. And often through that, people are saved. Sadly, anymore, the gospel has been reduced to simply salvation and going to heaven. There is so much more in here than that. Yes, Jesus came to reconcile us unto the Father. He came to pay the incredible debt of our sin and die upon a cross for our forgiveness. But He also came to teach us how to live with one another. Teach us how to love one another. How to celebrate differences. How to know one another so well that we know what others' gifts are and utilize that. I know the people in this congregation already that I can send someone to, because I already know some of your gifts. and all of your personalities fairly well. We'll get a little more bonded, but I know them fairly well. David Reed preached and published a sermon series on National Pulpit Radio that was titled Overheard. You know, the conversations at the water cooler at work, the little conversations that happen in the welcome area at a church, or the parking lot meetings. He addressed a number of faith issues that might conceivably have been overheard at that time. In this morning's text, we receive privileged privy in the know. We overhear a precious prayer from Jesus to his Father, an intimate moment between Father and Son. We have opportunity through the reading of the word to hear that. Jesus prays a prayer that is referred to as a high priestly prayer. And how blessed are we that we get to overhear that precious moment. Our scripture today comes from the 17th chapter of John. But it is directly tied to the 13th through the 15th chapter of John. Some of the deepest spiritual understanding that we have in all of Scripture comes through the 13th and 17th chapter of John. Today, as we transition from Eastertide to Ascension Sunday, and on to my favorite, Pentecost, we need to keep in mind how much Jesus loved us and prepared for us. Scripture says he now goes to the Father. These his disciples, are left behind to preach the gospel and to establish his kingdom, manifest his glory. Hence, he pleads with the Father that he may keep them through his name and the power and love. He especially pleads that they may be kept one, united as Father and Son are united. Our worship should be a celebration of a resurrected life with a resurrected Savior. The living Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is available to each and every one of us. Now that is something to celebrate. That is something to trust and rely on, even when nothing in our lives makes sense. We are his disciples in the world. I have given them your word, the message that you gave to me. And the word, or the world, has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world. If we are truly living our life, a pleasing life to God, we will be taunted and teased. We will have to face spiritual warfare. Sanctify them in truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I have commissioned and sent them into the world, and he has prayed for us. The great danger for us is that darkness will invade, fill, and overtake our hearts. We either give up because it's all just too hard, or we buy into the excuses. You hear the phrases all the time. What can I do? I'm only one person. Well, it's always been like that. I don't see anybody else doing anything. Excuses. We have Jesus' prayer, and I am awestruck by how Jesus communicated with his dad. It is a pure outpouring of the heart. And this is the way that we should speak to the Father as well. I call him Abba, which in Hebrew is a more intimate term for Father. It more resembles Daddy. Abba, Papa, Daddy. And there are times where I come before him, my knees shaking, and as I get ready to tell him, I don't understand what you're doing right now, but I trust you, my stomach drops, and I land on my knees, and I usually burst forth into tears, but I do indeed place my trust in him. I have absolutely no idea how things are going to work out, how long it'll take, what life is going to look like from this point on, but I know that he will walk through with me every single day. When you get to know me really well, I say in times like that, one step, one prayer, one breath at a time, rather than one day at a time, because sometimes in times like that, we need 1 minute, one breath, one prayer at a time for him to renew our thinking and remind us. This is no surprise to me. This did not catch me off guard. I am here with you. I have promised to never leave or forsake you. You know, when our kids turn 18, most folk consider we're pretty well done then. We don't pray for them every day. Well, I saw a post the other day that I had to share. It's when they turn 18 that we have to hit our knees, hit that pavement, and really begin praying for them. And trust that everything that we have instilled in them, that everything they know and believe, will be lived out. There might be things that we don't quite agree with, but we trust that they are first and foremost the Father's. And we have faith in what we have placed in them. Trust is a necessity in life. If we trusted absolutely no one and didn't trust God, we would be very bitter, mean, hard, lonely, miserable people. It is also a release. We have to let go and let God. We cannot be clinging to what we want so desperately and still trust God to take care of us and get us through. Jesus prays that his joy be made complete in us, in you and I. This happens in the midst of the world and its dangers. It is neither running away from the systems of the world nor standing and challenging them, but laying down our life before Jesus as his witness and allowing him to work through us. Our protection is not found in escaping the danger, in having the pain taken away from us. Our protection is found in Jesus' prayer, in us loving and trusting our Father enough to know that he is shielding us from whatever could possibly be. That is what keeps us safe in the midst of conflict. When we dare to be Christ's witnesses in the world, trusting in him to send us, direct us, guide us, and give us a fresh word, we begin to feel peace and serenity. Jesus, in all the Gospels, tells us when we care for the needs of other persons and society, we will begin to notice a quiet joy that far surpasses any troubles. We will begin to be more like him, showing love, compassion, understanding, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And as we become more like him, we become equipped to deal with this world as it is. The song that we're about to hear, our response to the message, is Say Amen. Just say amen. How many have found him faithful? I know that I have. I have found him faithful no matter what is happening. Is there anybody out there who knows that he is able? Say amen. Is there anybody out there who has seen his power? Yes, many times. Sometimes through the darkness it is hard to see. So just be brave and follow where he leads. Because greater is the one who lives within us than the one who is in the world.